Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is excellence in a chosen field. Each of my guests will explain how to be excellent in a particular field. My first guest contends that we can learn to access more of our brain power to become excellent at anything we put our minds to. We'll discuss the amazing brain science behind the complete material, emotional, and spiritual fulfillment from his book, How We'll All Be Equally Rich, Famous, and Brilliant, etc. Forever. My second guest is best known as the leader of Tommy James and the Shondells. He sold more than 100 million records, but that's not the most interesting part of his life. We'll discuss his unique mob connection from his book, Me, the Mob, and the Music. My third guest has served our country honorably in Operation Enduring and Iraqi Freedom. He's a former Army sergeant and the author of the Ultimate Basic Training Guidebook, Tips, Tricks, and Tactics for Surviving Boot Camp. He'll tell us about the changes in military training post 9/11 that address terrorism and combating terrorists. And if you want to ask a question or just make a comment, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Dr. Louis Mancini, is an author and a psychiatrist. Dr. Mancini has worked in the bioengineering department at the University of Utah. He has published articles in Speculations in Science and Technology and Medical Hypothesis magazines. His book is titled How We'll All Be Equally Rich, Famous, and Brilliant, etc. Forever. Welcome to the show, Lou. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So let's set the stage for our listeners if we can. Most scientists believe that humans use between 2 and 10% of their brain capacity. Even Einstein was reputed to only have used 10% of his brain's capacity. That leaves somewhere between 90 and 98% of our brain that's untapped. So you've got experience in the fields of biophysics, bioengineering, and electronic, EEG technology. So describe these fields of medicines to my listeners so they can better understand what your qualifications are.
Well, it's in bioengineering, biophysics, and electroencephalography technology all involve, from my perspective, trying to optimize brain function and mind function also. And the brain and mind are two different things, but we'll start out with optimizing brain function.
Okay.
The best way to do that, to enable us to use 80 or 90% of our brain power, is to isolate a characteristic in the brain waves, and a characteristic in the brain waves which indicates that a person is engaged in learning and memory formation and perception. And what that boils down to is gamma waves, which are waves above 30 cycles per second. You want to take those brain waves and you want to have an external biofeedback loop, which will only deliver pleasurable brain stimulation when the person is generating these gamma waves, which indicate that they're paying attention into what they're doing, and they're involved in problem solving.
All right, so let me see if I'm paying attention here, Doctor. We're looking for gamma rays, that's activity in the brain, and you want to create some sort of a feedback loop that whenever gamma rays appear or are demonstrated in the brain, that you feed pleasurable sensations back to the brain to reinforce those gamma waves. Is that correct?
Right, right.
Okay, got it.
Gamma waves.
Waves, yes.
Yeah.
Gamma waves. All right, now, that all sounds very, very technical, even to my listeners, but how is that done today? Because that's just not something that happens by magic. This is actually kind of invasive, isn't it?
Right. Well, at this point, it is. Down, 10 years from now, I think it can be done. It'll be done non-invasively. But right now, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved deep brain stimulation with implanted electrodes for three entities: Parkinson's disease, essential tremor, which is just when somebody has uncontrollable shaking of their hands, and dystonia, which is uncontrollable movements of the body. But it's also being used on an experimental basis in depression, epilepsy, obsessive compulsive disorder, eating disorders, cluster headaches, which are a type of extremely severe headache, chronic and phantom limb pain, and Tourette syndrome, where people have uncontrollable tics of the face and extremities and uncontrollable utterance of obscenities, and post-traumatic coma. So really not much work, if any, is being done on how to optimize learning right now. I would suppose it would begin with people who actually have an attention deficit disorder or learning disabilities or possibly developmentally disabled before it will move to people who don't have any of the above, who just want to be smarter than they already are. But I think that this could happen at any time.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Lou Mancini. And Lou, bring it back down to us for something that is currently being used for and it's approved for. And let's just pick Parkinson's disease, because that's an affliction that affects many of the parents of my listeners and so forth. So with Parkinson's, how would this be used and how is it approved by the FDA to be used for Parkinson's?
Well, I think the actual mechanism of how it works is not too well understood, but the device, the implanted device, does give off pulses, and these pulses seem to inhibit the Parkinsonian symptom, so that the person, you'll have a person who is unable to eat, unable to feed himself, unable to dress, and suddenly with stimulation in the substantia nigra of the brain, which is in the basal ganglia, that person will be able to do these things for themselves again.
But
it's quite effective, more so than medications are. So it's reserved for people whose disease is so severe that the medication either doesn't work or it stopped working because the patient developed tolerance to it.
All right. So in severe cases, this invasive procedure is done. And how do they do it? Do they actually implant something inside of your brain that sort of sets off a stimulation, some sort of an electrical current?
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly it.
All right. So now that's what's happening today. That's currently what's happening, and that's to treat. It's been approved to treat diseases like Parkinson's, and it's
that's still experimental, even with Parkinson's.
I'm sorry,
you're right. That's in the list of three that it's been approved for, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So now that's the invasive technique, but you're saying that in time, things are going to change. The first change probably is going to be that it won't be invasive anymore. We won't have to operate to put something into the person's brain, and that may be as close as 10 years away. So explain for me, if you will, Lou, how that would work. Do you have any idea of how a non-invasive process might work?
Yes. Well, right now, actually, already we do have what's called transcranial magnetic stimulation, and I underwent it myself just to be a guinea pig for it to see what it would feel like. And they use a coil, and they place it a very small distance, maybe a centimeter or two, away from that portion of the brain that controls movement. And that portion of the brain that controls movement is near the top of the brain, so it's easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And in me, at least, it caused involuntary muscle contractions on the opposite side of the body. But right now, with transcranial magnetic stimulation, they're not able to penetrate too deeply into the brain. And if you want to improve learning abilities and treat many diseases, including Parkinson's, which is deep in the brain, you have to be able to penetrate deep into the brain. And so with transcranial magnetic stimulation, you can't go very deep yet.
All right. But explain it for my listeners, because you've been through this. You're the first person I've ever known to have gone through this. What did it feel like? Obviously, you said that the impulse created a reaction on the opposite side of your body, which you would expect. But what did it feel like? Was it like a little electrical shock? Did you not feel anything? Was it like static electricity made your hair stand up? Just exactly what was the experience like, Lou?
Well, you hear a loud sound. The equipment is a little bit noisy. And I did feel something, but it wasn't at all painful. It was more like just like a little, like a jolt.
Okay.
It certainly wasn't painful.
Was it pleasurable?
Slightly. I would say slightly, yes.
All right.
Maybe it was. I'm not sure everybody would agree on that, but I found it so. Maybe I was just happy that it worked.
Maybe. That's true. We're talking to Dr. Louis Mancini, and we're talking about, well, the specific topic is transcranial magnetic stimulation, but he's written a book, How We'll All Be Equally Rich, Famous, Brilliant, Etc. Forever. So, Doc, in a case like this, where it's very experimental and so forth, my listeners are going to want to know, for this non-invasive technique, what are some of the costs for this type of brain stimulation if they wanted to experience it themselves? Is this cost prohibitive for most people?
No, not really, because actually many hospitals now have transcranial magnetic stimulation. And I don't know the exact price of the unit. I would be taking a wild guess if I said $20,000 for a unit. That's just a wild guess. I haven't bought one, so I don't know.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. I'm not going to ask you to talk about things that you don't know about, so that's fine. So what has to happen for us to have this non-invasive technology become more available between, say, now and the year 2021?
Well, I think we want to start using sound waves together with electromagnetic waves. I think we need both modalities, because sound, ultrasound, for example, ultrasound is sound which is 20,000 cycles per second or higher, which is generally inaudible to the human ear, although dogs can hear it. But we're going to want to use ultrasound, ultrasonic fields, and electromagnetic fields at the same time. And the reason for using the ultrasound is because it penetrates better. It's easier to get ultrasound to penetrate through the skull and to define a region that you want to stimulate. I think for learning, the region we want to stimulate is the ventromedial frontal cortex nucleus accumbens, A-C-C-U-M-B-E-N-S.
Yes.
I think that's where we want to stimulate. And if we use ultrasound, which we can focus using something called time reversal mirrors, which is actually a misnomer because they don't reverse time. What they do is they reverse the order, they reverse the sequence. So if you feed in a sound wave that, you know, has ups and downs going in one way, then the time reversal mirror will kick it back out, going in the opposite formation. And so if you use time reversal mirrors to focus the ultrasound, and then you also want to use focused electromagnetic fields, which can be also be focused with time reversal mirrors, that is the means of getting current to flow. So
all
the
right.
Ultrasound is to define the area that you want to stimulate, and the electromagnetism is to actually get the currents in the brain flowing in the direction that you want them to flow.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Louis Mancini, and Doc, you're obviously an expert in this area. You have a lot of technological expertise over the head of most of my listeners that are out there right now. So let's concentrate on it from this aspect. The area that you're exploring right now, these new techniques for brain stimulation, the changes are happening extremely rapidly. Literally daily changes are happening. How quickly and how fast is this technology going to evolve so that it becomes more mainstream and more people can take advantage of it?
Well, I think it might be like, we might be looking at 10 years. I'm not sure, because the people who are developing electromagnetic stimulation are trying to use multiple coils. When I visited Massachusetts General Hospital as a guinea pig, there was only a single coil involved. But now there are researchers at National Institute of Health and at a university in Israel who are using multiple coils to try to better focus the electromagnetic field. It's difficult to focus electromagnetic fields, but as far as the time reversal mirrors, there's one guy, and one researcher in Paris, France, named Matthias Fink, who's sort of been the leader in this field, but there are other people working on it now, too. So, and one of the things holding up progress is that the threshold of stimulus parameters where you can actually do some damage as opposed to just usefully stimulating the brain without causing any damage, it's a fine line. So that's part of what's going to, that's part of why everybody has been a little bit slow to catch on with this, because of the dangers. And with the, even using just the implanted electrodes, they are having some side effects such as hemorrhaging, infection, scarring, stroke, headaches, neuropsychiatric problems, mood changes, apathy, hallucinations, and, of course, broken wires, battery malfunctions, and electrode displacement.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds like the side effects are almost worse than the disease. And unfortunately, Lou, we're...
It happens. Not everybody gets them. Some people don't get any side effects. But the thing is, if you're going to do this from outside of the head, you want to be sure that you're not... Because even doing this from outside of the head with electromagnetic and ultrasonic fields, you still could, in theory, cause the same set of problems, and you'd almost be worse off because you're dealing with somebody who's got a closed-off head.
Right, right. And that brings up all of the moral and ethical dilemmas that we would have with this. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Lou. But if people are interested in learning more about it, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, Amazon.com. Or the publishing company is Trafford, TRAFFORD.com.
Wow. Lou, you have been a wealth of information. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.